Welcome to Accent That with Gail Marie. Over the next hour, you will learn the importance of vocality, accents, and language differences in characters, as well as how they are portrayed to the audience. Now, here is your host, Gail Marie.
Hello, Akron. Welcome back to our second episode of Accent That. We appreciate you tuning in whilst we work through our series of accents. For this and last week's podcast, we were discussing the perfectly understood and perfectly misunderstood at the same time idea. In particular, we used Mandarin versus English speaking accents to sort out this idea. We will welcome back Shelley this episode and recap episode 1 points and information. Following our recap, we will explain these points with some details. So welcome, join in, and for now, we will tune in to Shelley, our expert, to continue our idea of perfectly understood and perfectly misunderstood at the same time. Welcome back, Shelley. Thank you again for joining us and being such a wonderful participant. I would like to take a moment and reintroduce you to our audience. You are now located in Japan.
Yes.
Where in Japan?
Osaka.
And what do you do there?
I am a tutor, teaching Mandarin, Chinese, and English conversation.
You have quite a career in that, don't you?
Yeah. And I like English, you know, especially like talking English with foreigners. So, and 99% of my students are adult, coming from more than 60 professions.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Would you say that you're fluent in more than two languages?
Yes, I can speak Mandarin, Chinese, Taiwanese, Japanese, and English.
That's incredible.
Thank you.
What else are some of your favorite lifestyle activities? I think I know one of them.
Yeah, I do the things I love. If I don't enjoy something, then I don't do it. I spend my time and energy on things that bring me fulfillment and happiness. I'm positive, but I cannot work in a job I feel passionless about. I live a healthy lifestyle, cook nutritious and balanced food every day. I am a travel lover. So far, I have traveled 29 countries, and I do enjoy cross-cultural communication. So maybe this is why you invited me to talk about these topics.
Indeed. To bring in your expertise and your experiences with vocalization and specifically accents. And so I'm going to kind of dive into accents about how we perceive them. And some things I have in mind are how does an accent work? As far as our perception of the accent, how do they work? Where does an accent start?
I think accent is different from pronunciation, right? When we say pronunciation, it's the difference about how you pronounce the consonant and vowels in syllable. But accent is more influenced by the local area. So we can judge the accent and we can know where the accent was born from.
I have to agree with you on that. Do you think an accent is more a mimicking of what we're hearing around us?
Yes, especially from our mother tongue.
And what about in our second or third language?
The second or third, it depends on where you learn that. So if your teacher has a strong accent, of course, you learn a strong accent, second language.
Exactly. So I'm in the Akron, Ohio area. So how would you describe my accent?
Oh, I like your accent. I think you sound more confident and leadership, and I can trust you. You sound dependent for me. Yeah.
Well, that's nice. Now, have you had a teacher from another geographical region in the United States?
Many years ago, I took online lessons, but all of the teachers were from different areas in America, I think, and including Australian too, and the British too. So I have met many teachers in the world.
I can just you say is the second biggest influence on our accent. We spoke about our geographical location, and that is our primary mimicking of an accent. What is the second biggest influence to our accent?
I think there are some reasons that influences our accent. One thing I think is, so besides pronunciation, of course, pronunciation is one big problem. Such as in Japan, you know, they have a lot of katakana English, which means that they added a lot of vowels into English words, or they make their new words. But besides this, there is another reason that makes accent not familiar to some people. That is culture difference.
Oh.
I can say it didn't run very well. Yeah. So not only pronunciation problem, I think. So why we cannot understand or we cannot communicate is one factor is about culture, I think.
Exactly, and what their perception of a definition is.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, now, those are two huge factors in accent, and so that is the core of vocalization. And when we think about that, and then we have the advantage of social media, of radio, television, movies. When we consider the entertainment industry, do you believe that accents are used to help us understand a character or to define a character for entertainment purposes?
Yeah, I think sometimes they are just exaggerating the difference or making it funny or to make the difference bigger.
It's like a stronger accent than probably would be useful in everyday life. So with this exaggeration, do you think that they grab more attention?
Yes, sure. Yeah.
Let's bring back that infamous term lish. Basically, every country in the world has a lish English. Can you describe some of that for us?
But another interesting thing is many Asian people don't know there are actually no standard English. So, but the Asians have their favors. So generally speaking, the Chinese favorite about accent in descending order of contempt is London accent, American English, Australian accent, Indian Hinglish, Chinese Chinglish, and in the last one, incomprehensible Japanese.
Wow. So I'm second on the list?
The number one, London accent. The second is American English.
Wow.
Australian accent. Yeah.
That's great. At least we're in the top three. Fantastic. Now, you had mentioned to me once upon a time, and this is just some useful information before we take a break pretty soon, and then we're going to get into some of the accents and how we perceive characters.
Okay.
You had mentioned that Japan is considering one standard easy, what we call easy English. Can you explain that a little bit?
Not easy English, easy Japanese. They have a kind of a system. It's easy Japanese to teach foreigners easy Japanese for communicating smoothly. Yeah, I like the idea very much. So, because they want Japanese people respect other countries' people, and they think people from other countries are guests. So they don't make fun of them. They want to communicate with you and hope you can understand them. So there is kind of a set of language. They said it's easy Japanese. So they use the easy Japanese to talk to foreigners, especially for some situations like education or hospital or emergency situation or court. So in this kind of places, and they use this kind of easy Japanese. I like the idea. I hope there is an easy English, a global easy English for all foreigners. Then we can communicate easily. Yeah,
I can see the appreciation of that, since there are so many. You've got a preferred list of English accents and to learn, and I can see where one easy English, like one easy Japanese, would be helpful to everyone.
As we come to a break, let's think about what the accent reflects in the character. Some accents reflect, you know, a dignity. Other accents may reflect deviance. What are some of the things that you feel an accent can strongly project in a Hollywood character?
Yeah, confusion. For some characters, accent also can show some characters. And for example, the pitch. If you have a low pitch, then mostly it seems like you are a little bit strong, leadership, powerful, competence, dominance. Yeah. But if you have a high pitch, then most of the time it sounds optimistic, bright, and straight. So it affects personality, our perception about the personality, I think.
Very good.
Welcome back. After that terrific recap, let's consider a few ideas. Number one, we know that Mandarin is a tonal language, meaning that they use tones to pronounce their sounds. So let's check out the sound of the Mandarin tones.
你好。
你好。
Perfect. So their tones are very direct. There are four, let's say, dominant tones that Mandarin uses. And those are a high tone, the second tone, the third tone, and the fourth tone. When we consider that they are using tones, we may find that to us, a Mandarin speaker may sound unhappy or aggressive when they're simply communicating with one another. To explain that a little bit, if you take a high tone, the first tone, to a Native American English speaker, they may sound like a little suspicious. If you combine the second tone with the fourth tone, a Native American speaker may consider that anger, kind of like an angry sound. This is why 83% of the tones that Native American speakers hear a Mandarin speaker pronounce sound unhappy or aggressive to the English natives. This is why in Hollywood, in, let's say, action movies, of course, one of the most famous genres, the Asian speaker may seem like the perfect bad guy. Now, to reverse that role, it is quite the same for an English speaker in an Asian action movie. Our expression of emotion compared to how they express emotion, a Mandarin speaker, is very different. Our vocality range from high to low, loud to soft, makes us the perfect bad guy. Considering that note, we will attempt to tune in the four tones. Hopefully, this will come across one moment. This is tone number one. The meaning of that tone could be translated as mother. This is the second tone. That could be translated to mean hemp. This is the third tone. That could be translated to horse. The fourth tone. This could be translated to scold, like you're scolding someone. So, as you can interpret from here, we can take advantage of the differences in our accents between Mandarin and English. Where is the strongest influence of these accents? We talked about that before. We talked about Hollywood, of course, and Hollywood's exaggeration of our accents to help us understand these characters. The question for you is, are you familiar with a character or even an actor that this accent comes into play to help us understand their role and their character in the movie? I can mention a couple. We have Ao Leong as an Asian actor who typically ends up as the bad guy in the American action movies. And we have a Briton, Kevin Lee, who typically ends up as the bad guy in the Asian movies. So if you know someone, an actor, or a movie where accent becomes part of the character and the role that they play, feel free to let us know and join in. We talked about also the second thing that influences our accent. That is considered mimicking. And as Shelley stated, it talks about your regional area. Some interesting information about households in the United States and areas in the United States where the language most spoken other than English is Mandarin are these areas: New York, Pennsylvania, Missouri, Washington State, Wyoming, and North Carolina. Considering that, think about this. Do you now or have you ever lived near a multilingual town or city where Mandarin is a prominent language? Do you know a Lish English that someone maybe you work with, maybe you live next to, or maybe you're involved in an activity with, speaks a Lish version of Mandarin English? If so, let us know. For now, we're going to ask the audience to send us some information on your ideas and your thoughts on the background information that affluence are influenced by mimicking them and by our culture. Have you had this experience? Have you had this experience with someone you know? Next up, we're going to come back, of course, with our Google information. Northern versus Southern accents in both areas. And how to understand the differences between Mandarin and English. We're going to take a quick listen to Ao Leong and his explanation of how he ended up in these movies. Ao says, I didn't know I was going to be in front of the camera. I was actually called in as a stuntman. And I ended up being in front of the camera. It's further explained that it's because of Al's appearance and his native heritage that he became a very well-known actor in the United States. The same applies to Kevin Lee, the Briton. He initially got called in as a stuntman. Turned out he was pretty good at losing in the movies. That being the case, he decided to stay with it. His grizzly voice, notice the description grizzly, assists him in being the perfect bad guy. Keeping that in mind, I'm going to go ahead and announce our sponsor at this point before we take break. Have you ever needed a cleaning, like a really good cleaning? I do. Sometimes I need professional help. And you need to find help sometimes. Well, here in the Akron, Ohio area, we have a professional cleaning company that does commercial, retail, and office cleaning. CJS Cleaning Solutions. They're available to schedule daily, weekly, bi-weekly, and monthly. You can contact them at 330-849-2397 or CJS Cleaning Solutions LLC at gmail.com. Trust me, they don't cut corners, they clean them. Thank you, CJS, for bringing this portion of Accent That to our audience today. We look forward to getting back with you following our break, and we look forward to you joining in our conversation about perfectly understood and perfectly misunderstood.
Voice America at facebook.com/Voice America for juicy updates from your favorite radio shows and podcasts.
Have you ever noticed how a television show or a movie uses accent or language differences to communicate meaning to the audience about characters? If not, listen to Accent That with your host, Gail Marie. You'll learn the importance of vocality and how it works. Accent That, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
Tune in to the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
Streaming live. The leader in internet talk radio. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Accent That with Gail Marie. If you have any questions for Gail or her guests, you can join us on the show at 866-472-5788. That's 866-472-5788. Now, back to the show with Gail.
Welcome back to the second portion of Accent That. Perfectly understood and perfectly misunderstood. Hopefully by this point, I've been able to give you an understanding of the difference between Mandarin and English and why it is a challenge at times to understand each other. We're going to get into some ideas about the perceptions of accents. Considering the question, can a person's accent change your perception of what they're telling you? Could it also affect your judgment of social acceptance? Perhaps. Well, we all express the aspects of our personalities in different languages. This is how we are interpreted by the rest of the world. Of course, listening to a voice with a foreign accent can impact the situation. It can impact the foreign culture, and it can reinforce the standards of our own culture. So what does that mean? That means that if you're in a culture, it may be a collectivist culture. If you're in another culture, it could be an independent culture. If we misunderstand a foreign accent, we more than likely automatically apply our own standards and values to what they're saying, when that particular word could mean something entirely different in the other language. If you think back, Shelley kind of explained that when she said she was working and she thought the word meant difficult, but actually it meant no, not at all. Not going to happen. And that scenario, we spoke before about how we can correct some of these situations where, culturally speaking, we do not understand what they're saying. And at the end of our second recap, we discussed a simple Mandarin, a simple English. And this is what we would like to know. Do you think this is a good idea universally, worldwide, that most prominent languages have a basic script, a basic idea that we can communicate to each other that basically the definition is the same on both sides? I would not know the tone ma meant horse. But if you sat back and thought about it, we use the term mare to define a female horse. So the Mandarin ma, meaning horse, could be comparable to mare in English. But probably if I was in a situation and listening at the time, I would not interpret it that way the first time. Now, let's talk about this idea of a basic language. What would that include? How would we include it? And what would that take away? Well, let's talk about some things. I think X-Gen millennials moving forward from there have come up with some pretty cool words and expressions that we kind of share around the world. So what about some of the names of things? Some borrowed words. I bet you know a few. Let's think about PC. What is a PC? Well, it's just an abbreviation, right? But it means personal computer. Some other borrowed words could be prestige. We borrow them for prestige, so we sound good to the other guy. And I think this is kind of important in our communication with someone who doesn't speak our own language. So, Can you think of some borrowed words that we use and are shared multiculturally and globally? Let's pick a few. How about, for example, social media? Is social media borrowed? Do you think some of the names that we use and some of the apps we use in social media are borrowed? How about YouTube? How about TikTok? What do you think? I think we borrow a few. How about some of our cooking terms? Do you think we borrow some of those? How about choy? We use choy in some of the names of our food. How about Shar Pei dogs? That could be considered Mandarin. Of course, Tai Chi, Kung Fu, the martial arts. How about Mohong, the Mohong game? You familiar with that one online? There's also rickshaw. I bet we could come up with quite a few borrowed words. If we came up with a very normal, very common English and a very normal, very common Mandarin, that may help us. But it also may change the idea of communicating with expression. If we think about the social context that we're in our neighborhood, in our cities, and we think about our friends, our comrades that maybe don't speak English as a native, we should think about how to make things clearer and easier. And we do this naturally by making common words a part of our vocabulary and by making short and simple phrases a part of our context. Next, we will move into what we talked about, and this is a great place to look into this whole concept of perfectly understood and perfectly misunderstood, the South, and that tends to be the hotspot for accent development in the United States, and we consider Northern versus Southern accents. And when we do this, let's take a look at Mandarin in the beginning. Understandably so, there is a bit of a what would be considered a feud in Northern and Southern Mandarin. They have a linguistic rivalry. And in that, it almost seems as though there are two different languages. Some of the things that they consider Southern standard language would be some of their consonants and particular sounds. If you consider the Northern dialect are characterized most distinctively by the rotroflex R, meaning that it's at the end of the word. So, hall becomes holler. They also use a fifth or neutral tone in Northern Mandarin. So, a bit of a feud in the dialects there between Northern and Southern Mandarin. Now, let's get back to the United States. We have not only North and South rivalries, we have East and West rivalries. Sometimes they have become quite intense. And this is not only in the United States, but I would imagine this is in Mandarin-speaking countries as well and cultures. Rap-offs. We have rap competitions and rap rivalries about speaking, about rapping, about lyrics. And there is little talk in the United States of America about a standard American accent. Regional identities are very fluid in the United States. And most people don't grow up in one set location through their early life. And so this diversification throughout the southern cities is one of our consequential phenomenons in our accents that we gain. So thinking about that, let's go back to north and south, and then we'll go east and west. Let's consider the languages other than English most spoken in an area. If we go from Mississippi, the most common household language in Mississippi is Muskogean. Not English, not Spanish. And if we go to their neighbor there in Louisiana, the most common language spoken at home is French. And we go a little further east and we go to South Carolina. And the most common language spoken there, other than English, is German. And let's look at one more. The most common language spoken in Florida, other than English, is French or Haitian Creole. Considering that, it's not unusual that we have so many Southern accents per geographical location, because we have a tremendous blend of cultures in those areas. All of those cultures influence the English language spoken by the native language that came with them. Can you think of an accent in the southern United States that you can name and you can explain, possibly from Louisiana, possibly from Mississippi, South Carolina, or Florida? If you can do that, we'd love to hear from you. Talking about northern accents, let's go far, far north, and let's look at the state of Maine. Now, this ties in with some of the southern United States. The language most spoken per household in Maine, other than English, is French. Now, let's go a little south of there to New Jersey. And the most common language, other than English, spoken at home is Filipino or Tagalog. Now, let's go a little bit east from there and let's take a look at North Dakota. Here we go. The most common language spoken in North Dakota, other than English, is German. And let's scoot a little bit farther over. In the state of Idaho, the most common language spoken other than English is Arabic. Now, considering those, from east to west and north to south, again, we have numerous accents that can be formed from the English to the influence of the original native tongue spoken at home. And this is where, in the United States, as well as all other countries in the world. It's where we're located. And it's our culture that determines our accent. This accent can either be understood or misunderstood. However, if we make an effort and we try and simplify things, we all could have a common method to communicate and hopefully understand the words that we're saying. So we want to thank you for joining us today. We welcome your likes, follows, subscribes. We look forward to meeting with you next week, where we venture into the influence of culture on accents with our guest, Jeff Yamada. If you would like to reach out to Shelley, our expert guest that was so wonderful to help us, just send a note into the show and we will gladly get it to her. Shelley has been a wonderful contribution to the show. I want to wish you all a very nice day. I don't know how your weather is, but here in Akron, we have a nice fall day going on. So this evening, possibly a bonfire and some s'mores. I hope you enjoy your evening and we welcome your responses and meeting with you again next week. Talk to you soon from Accent That.
Thanks for listening to Gail and her guest on Accent That. We hope this episode has given you a deeper understanding of the meaning behind vocality in characters. Until we talk again, have a wonderful week.